Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I'm just going to start singing the Alice Cooper song Frankenstein as we try to piece things together here. It's Fox Sports Radio. I know Halloween's over. Bear with me. Mike Harmon alongside Dan Beyer, Jason Smith off tonight. And I tell you what, Dan Beyer, Smith really hating life in terms of being off. Yes, he's celebrating his dad's birthday and he's probably eating copious amounts of chocolate. But yet a double overtime win for his beloved Syracuse Orange against Indiana, and now Ohio State takes down Duke. I mean, that is like a doubleheader of his wildest dreams. And he's not here. Oh, and Buddy Boeheim called in.
Yes, and I feel bad for Smith's dad, who apparently is going to get a fork in the hand because
he had it coming for something else.
Yeah, that's why Smith is missing tonight. Hey, it's a small sacrifice.
He made a choice.
We were able to reap the benefits.
No, absolutely. He made a choice, and I'm glad you were able to answer the call to say, hey, I'd love to come sit and talk for 4 hours and yell about the meaning of life and the sporting universe. So it's good times. Always, when you're in, at Dan Beyer on Fox, where you find Dan, the MVP pyramid will go up on his Twitter account tomorrow. Obviously, it'll be retweeted by me, at Swollen Dome, Fox Sports Radio, at Fox Sports Radio. We're watching Phoenix and Golden State now midway through the fourth quarter. Phoenix, a four-point lead. The big news, though, that Devin Booker had to leave this game with a hamstring injury, so we're keeping an eye on that, and we'll see what the test results are. And again, it's the beginning of December coming up here, so not exactly the prime time of when you're really worried about availability, but we know hamstrings can linger, so you know we'll keep an eye on that. But college buckets, some greatness. We're watching also the Lakers and well, the misery continues. LeBron James unavailable. He's into protocols. Going to miss several games here the next 10 days until he has the two negative tests. But they finally turned things around. It was an early debacle. They actually won a third quarter, Dan.
Hey,
so
all right.
That does not happen. I think they are well under 500 if you go quarter to quarter. But with a 37-15 third quarter over a really bad Sacramento squad that's already fired their coach this year, 92-77, 9 minutes left in the fourth. So all of those worries, all of those concerns, well, they're still there, but they're going to win tonight.
Again, we touched on this a little bit earlier, regular season games. I know LeBron missed time earlier in the season. I'm not as worried as other people are in regards to what this could mean for the Lakers. And again, you had some motivation. You lost to the team on Friday in triple overtime, and they were able to turn it on in the second half. So there, see, Laker fans, nothing to worry about.
There you go. You're going to be back above 500, so just let it go. All right, we're now two-thirds of the way through the NFL season, Dan. We've still got some bye weeks to clean up here, and obviously if you could pay extra money into a pot to get a late bye week, you would certainly do so if you were an NFL owner and certainly an NFL player with the bumps and bruises that you take along the way. But certainly the timing being right, Aaron Rodgers in particular, because of the injury that he's got with his foot. He's going to forego surgery for now, but sounds like at some point he's going to have to take care of that. But when we look at the week ahead, and we've talked a little bit about it, the Dallas-New Orleans game being the one that jumps off, COVID playing a role in terms of the coaching staff and a number of Dallas players. Bye week for Cleveland. We don't have to worry about Baker Mayfield on the field and his physicality and his physical health, but certainly mentally. Also questions of, you know, how that team is right now between the coach having to answer for, you know, should you bench him? It's a question I asked. I asked Jason Lockenfora yesterday, and the way I phrased it, he turned it into a bit about should he just take himself out of a lineup, which clearly not what I meant. But you know what? We have the levity. And finally, you know, it's the, you know, he's fighting for a contract. and if they really thought that you could go and move to Case Keenum and get wins, perhaps they would. We talk about roster construction there. They look good on paper to start things, Dan, but running backs get hurt, and at wide receiver, you've literally had two 100-yard games from receivers this year. One was the tight end, David Njoku, and the other was Donovan Peoples-Jones. So not exactly heavyweights. Tennessee, they need to figure it out on this bye week because, well, you've got injuries all over the place, so the extra week comes in beautifully for them right now. And then the Carolina Panthers, that we don't know what they are. We just know that Cam Newton's lost his last 10 starts. Christian McCaffrey goes to injured reserve for the end of the season, so welcome back, Chuba Hubbard, and I'm seeing articles about Sam Darnold. So you talk about needing the bye week. You talk about four teams that's like, yeah, it couldn't come at a more appropriate and perfect time.
Actually, I'm going to correct myself. I think we do know one thing about the Carolina Panthers, and that's they're not good.
They're not. Well, no, they're not good. They were just good enough to hang around and screw things up for a while, it seems.
Yeah, there were 14 teams in the playoff picture and graphics that we saw this week, and there actually probably still are 14 teams if you realistically want to put up an accurate depiction of how things are in the NFC with only the Lions and really the Seahawks on the outside.
You want to pick all the games for the Carolina Panthers for the rest of their schedule? Let's go.
Let's see. What do the Panthers have? I've got, obviously bye this week.
Bye week, and then the Falcons at home, at Buffalo.
Yep.
Home against Tampa.
Okay, I think we've got two for sure losses.
Road against the Saints, and then road against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Another of one of my pet peeves with NFL scheduling, that you'll play a division heavyweight twice in the final 3 weeks of a season.
And you would have to think, considering what the Panthers did to the Saints in week two, and I know it's a different Saints team, but there would also be some added motivation for maybe a bit of revenge. Yeah, I just don't. I don't see it. I don't. I don't think you see it either.
No, no.
And I think we can put a. There actually are a couple of teams that are still in the picture, Mike. But I don't think realistically we think they are legitimate playoff teams of the NFC, despite being put on the graphic by many networks.
Well, you know what? You want to keep as many of those cities feeling like there's still a little bit of hope. Because as we know from Shawshank Redemption, Dan, hope can be the best of things. Sometimes it's also a dangerous thing. Different parts of the movie, different speeches, but it all comes together to give you a great big hug to remind you, a little bit of hope is good, but you have to be realistic about it as well. And the point trying to make is there's a lot of teams that we just don't know who they are. I don't know that you've ever gone through a season, and maybe it's the recency bias and because we're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But week to week, you go to make game selections and you're going, well, this is a team that's streaking, they're playing well, and then they go out and get hammered. Or this is a team that's dead on its feet, dead on arrival, and boom, they go out and put up 40 points. So very few teams have we come week to week saying, I know exactly what I'm going to see, right? Cincinnati was the hot team for a few weeks. Then they lose a couple of games that really they shouldn't have. And then they go out and absolutely throttle the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are still sitting as a 5-5-1 team. But we can all agree, as we talked about a little bit earlier, Mike Tomlin and company realize a little bit of smoke and mirrors, and they would really need to change up possession to possession at this point if they were going to survive and even make the back end of the playoff run. The NFC, even those teams at the top, I think we can agree that Green Bay and Tampa Bay are the class, along with Arizona. And then you've got all sorts of other teams that can find ways to shoot themselves in the feet.
Yeah. And I don't think that there's any guarantee that the NFC representative in the Super Bowl is going to come from those three teams, despite how well those teams have played. And speaking of Tampa, Mike, I don't think that it was a plan last year that how they turned their season on after their late bye was really kind of how they fueled themselves to that playoff run and then ultimately winning the Super Bowl. I think that last year's season was so unique, Mike, because of COVID, because of Tom Brady still trying to get adjusted. I think the Buccaneers needed those first 12 games to kind of figure out who they were and they were then allowed to go on that run late in the season. And I actually think that's how the NFL is going to be for now. I mean, when you add an extra week, who wants to peak in week six? I mean, we look back at last year at what happened with Kansas City. They were probably the most dominant team from start to finish. I mean, they were 14-1 going into week 17 and played a Chargers team in a meaningless game that they ended up losing. So the record ends up being 14-2, but they were dominant throughout the NFL regular season. And then we saw how they were just ended up having no starting left or right tackles in the Super Bowl. They were banged up at the running back position. Like, now I think with the longer regular season, we aren't going to know who our really teams are going to be starting from this point on, from week 12, week 13, around that point. I think now's where we're really going to get an idea of what teams are starting to make a push. Like, I like the way that the 49ers are really trending right now, but I don't know if I'd put them past Green Bay or Tampa Bay as it is. But I think this is the new NFL. I think this is how we're going to – I don't think there are going to be any dominant Denver Bronco teams, you know, from the mid-1990s trying to be perfect, or a Patriots team from 2007, or even a Saints and Colts team, going like 13-0 to start a year like they did, 12 years ago. I just don't think you're going to see that in the NFL, especially now with the 17-game schedule.
Yeah, you talk about the extra game on the schedule, and I forget whether it was in the lost I Want Your Flex recording of last night early morning or the second one, but the point just being about load management and roster management for fantasy owners, not only looking ahead for the rest of this season, but knowing that we've got the 17 games and that eventually that 18th is coming in, that when you start looking, handcuffs at the running back position are going to become important again. For a while they weren't, because then we started looking at just committee situations, like, all right, take your best guess based on a game script as to which back is going to see more time, right? Or the fight in Denver where it's basically split 50-50, and then you hope and pray that eventually Javonte Williams either breaks a big one or they decide to be nice to him and give him a goal line carry instead of Melvin Gordon. That doesn't happen, by the way. But when we look at the AFC, right? You mentioned the Chiefs. Left for dead, and like, oh, the defense come alive. Well, they play this, it's all about schedule to a degree, right? I mean, we got to look at who's on there, but you can only beat who's in front of you and hope that you could piece some things together to take forward. But that was the team that it looked like, all right, maybe this is going to be a rough road. And then what happened? The Chargers, the Broncos, the Raiders all find themselves losing games that on paper they had no business losing. Right, the old adage in the NFL of go through and win the ones you're supposed to, and then hope you go 50-50 in the others, right? And that should put you in a pretty good spot. And that's been anything but in this year in the NFL. So now you look at the Chiefs, even though they didn't really add that extra body, right? Everybody was looking for another wide receiver, and all the rumors of different guys potentially popping into the mix there, along with Kelce and Tyreek Hill. But I just keep trying to remind folks, you've got guys that, all right, well, let's argue Tyreek Hill, what, top five, top six at the position? And then you've got the guy who's arguably the best tight end, and maybe not even an argument to be had. So, you're in pretty good shape that the Jags, the just a guys filling out the roster, should still be able to make some hay based on double teams and sequencing. And for Patrick Mahomes, being patient and not needing it all with the kill strike on first down of every possession, you adjust over time, and all of a sudden the team that, if they get into the dance, that's not a team you want to see. Every other team has some wart or some very big problem. I don't want to dismiss people that may have warts. No disrespecting to anybody there, but colloquialism here. But every other team we've seen, whenever we've tried to elevate them and say, all right, they've got this going, they just get knocked down a peg. Whereas the Chiefs, we had buried them 6 feet underground, and they're rising up like a Halloween zombie.
They're going to be right there, if not at the top. And it's actually the one thing about why the Patriots and why they, because they've just been steady Eddie. I mean, even in their losses, they have been, they've been a pretty good team. It's why I think that there's now so much stock being bought into New England, which I agree with. But sure, when you talk about nobody's perfect, you also still have a rookie quarterback there. And who knows how that's going to play out in the playoffs. So, yeah, a lot of questions when it comes to all 32 teams. Well, about 30 of them, let's just say, as we hit the two-thirds point of the season.
But that's exactly the way everybody wants it. Why? The television ratings are up because all of those cities still matter, and we'll be following it. And look, everybody's got their games they want to play. You got fantasy, and of course a little bit of friendly wagering and a little bit of nightlife. So the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Dan Byer in for Jason Smith. Hey, we're brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. You can plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. It's funny, I was on that site earlier today, Dan. It's time for me to make my grand return. Maybe it's the Adele tickets I'm going to get that'll get me there. Either way, at Dan Byer on Fox, where you find him. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, a lot of activity around Major League Baseball as the clock goes tick, 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 so towards labor issues. In the interim, some big novelty checks have been cut. One of our insiders stops by to give us the latest. And who are the early winners of free agency? We get into that next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dan Byer is in for Jason Smith tonight. The streak continues, Dan. The greatest team of all time, the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul, 15 points, 11 boards. Getting it done over
again.
Golden State. No? I'm just trying to do hyperbole and hot take nonsense. So
I know. Why Phoenix wants to win November in the NBA? Set it up for June, May and June. That's where you got to thrive. I'm telling you, this is going to catch up with them. It really is. You need those easy games. You just need to, you know, a game where, you know, everybody sits out and you just give them a little bit of a break. That's all I'm saying. Could help Phoenix down the line.
It could. Certainly the burnout perspective, the extra minutes, all of that. 104-96, your final, 8-24. Like I said, Chris Paul, 15 and 6 boards and 11 assists, plus 21 on the night for the Warriors, 28 for Jordan Poole. Steph Curry, just 4 of 21 from the field. 4 of 21. He stinks. 3 of 14 from three-point range, minus 17 on the night. Now it's time to turn our attention towards, you know, we talk about the dollar amounts of college coaches, Dan. Well, how about Major League Baseball, where the novelty checks are showing up like the end of a game show, and that music means only one guy could possibly be coming on to make it all make sense. Our buddy John Paul Morosi. You follow him on Twitter, at John Morosi. Leave out the H. Hi, Mom, at JonMorosi, Fox Sports, MLB Network. What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing great, my friend. And I do believe, Mike, there was a football contest of some consequence last Saturday in Ann Arbor that I believe Dan Byer watched as well. Am I getting good information?
Yeah, there it is. The Michigander is peacocking.
I haven't said anything for like the last 10 years, John. I have not said a word, and now all of a sudden this ends up happening. It did. There's not much to say. It's old news, John. It's old news.
Oh, old news. Dan, I do have to say this. We need to ask you questions about how to play indoors this time of year. Michigan's never done it before, obviously. So people in Ann Arbor have never had to get out a road map and drive to Indianapolis this time of year. So it's all new and exciting. It is still remarkable. Michigan's first appearance ever in the Big Ten championship game. So it's been a long time coming. Michigan's first really legitimate win against Ohio State since 2003. So it is a generational triumph and one that has been many, many years in the making.
Man, I'll say this. Let me ask you, do you think that it's now not smooth sailing? And I'm not talking about Jim Harbaugh's job, but is there still more work to be done for Michigan, or do you think that they have reached the point? Because that's the sense that I get, is a lot of people say, hey, They finally beat Ohio State. Work is done here. We're good. Do you think that there is still more work to be done in Ann Arbor and with the Wolverine football program?
They have to win Saturday because it's a winnable game. And when you think about the legacy of the program and what Michigan players, coaches have talked about for generations, it's always been about winning the Big Ten. And mm-hmm. and Michigan has not won the Big Ten in nearly 20 years. And they have not won the Rose Bowl. And obviously I realize the playoff format has changed, but they haven't won the Rose Bowl since the 97 season. 97. I was in high school back then. Okay. That's a long time ago. So I think that when you consider all of those reasons, you have to take advantage and you have to complete the job by winning the game on Saturday against a very tough Iowa team. So once, you know, if and when that happens, then that's, I think anything beyond that, I'm not going to say that if they get to the college football playoff that they're just happy to be there, because it's obviously more than that. But I do think that winning the Big Ten this weekend would really stamp this as a success and mark that things are different. And by the way, I realize we've got a lot of baseball stuff to talk about. I just cannot fathom Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU. I don't know. Call me old-fashioned. I realize I grew up in a small town in the Midwest and went to a Catholic school growing up. But by goodness gracious, Notre Dame is supposed to be the destination job. I don't get that. So anyways, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. I realize there's a lot of money involved in him going to LSU, but it's just there's. I have a lot of confusing emotions right now as a college football fan.
I have no doubt. Lots of money involved. Maybe a little more autonomy in terms of the roster composition and recruits you can go after from an academic perspective. You know, you being the genius that you are, JP, you understand how hard it is to get into those schools.
Sure. Well, I'm not a genius. I have to correct the record there. I was...
Take the compliment, move sure. on, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, but it's these are different times, and I guess he lost to win a national championship. I thought Notre Dame was the place where you could win a national championship. Am I wrong about that?
Well, maybe decided that the independent route makes it a little more difficult. Yes,
that's true. That's true. Go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say we also are all of similar age. And so we grew up in a time where I even think a generation before us even put Notre Dame on a higher pedestal than we even did. But I think that those days are gone. And I think that's where we are when it comes to college football.
Yeah, well said. Well said. The landscape has changed. But you're right. I mean, could you ever have imagined Lou Holtz or Eric Parseghian leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU? It would not have happened.
It's a new world order. John Paul Morosi on with us, our baseball insider. He's breaking news. He's breaking down the dollar amounts, the fits, all of that. But the big question remains, the clock is ticking. Any progress towards finding a new agreement here at the table?
Today, the answer is no, unfortunately. They met here in Dallas. I just arrived. To be able to report on whatever happens tomorrow. Who knows what it's going to be 24 hours from now, almost exactly 24 hours from now. So there was no meaningful progress today. I would say that. Is there hope for the next 24 hours? I am always an optimistic person. I am. But for there to be a deal, we would have to see some pretty dramatic movement. And I think it would have to be on the player's side at this point in time. The most recent proposal, I'm told, included free agency after 5 years and arbitration after two, which those have been really, when you think about arbitration at three and free agency at six, those have been pillars of collective bargaining in this sport for generations going back to Marvin Miller. So it'd be a dramatic change. It seems like those are non-starters from the MLB standpoint. MLB has proposed changes to free agency that really bring things along the lines of what the players' concerns have been. And not for nothing, we have seen more than $1.7 billion, I believe, spent in the last month in free agency. So, again, I spoke a moment ago about my roots in a small town in the Midwest. I would say it's hard to argue that the process is broken when $1.7 billion is being spent. I mean, really, those are difficult things for me to rectify, and probably for a lot of people who watch the game as well.
You know, how many ski passes could you get to Ski Brule with that amount of money, John Morosi?
That is a great question. That would buy you a lot of ski passes in the great state of Wisconsin or Michigan or anywhere, even out in Big Sky, Montana. The reality is, it sounds to me the players are proposing a lot of changes, even to revenue sharing. So the encouraging thing is they talked today twice. They met in a small group today. They're still talking. We're not at the point where we're seeing tersely worded statements back and forth about the other side, which has me somewhat encouraged. But the reality is there is a pretty wide gap between the parties' positions right now and where they'd have to be able to get. They'd have to cover a lot of ground in the next 24 hours. That being said, I really think when you consider where MLB's proposals have been, they really do address a lot of the issues that the players had been suggesting in the past, and we have to see if there's meaningful movement on the part of the players in the next 24 hours. And if there's not, guys, I would say that a lockout becomes inevitable. The CBA expires at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time Wednesday, so less than 24 hours from now. And if we don't see that meaningful move, by this time tomorrow, we'll probably see an announcement of a lockout, and that might take months to resolve, where perhaps we've seen players indicating that they really believe the deadline is more than the start of spring training, which, as we know, is a long time from now. Spring training, as you know, guys, begins once the Lions have completed their winless season, so we've got some weeks and months between now and then.
All right, JP, so $1.7 billion. So far, who's spent most wisely?
That's a great question. For me, I like what the Mariners did with the Robbie Ray signing. I think they needed a major arm, and that was a fair contract. The Jays, what they did with Gausman, I think was very good as well. The Rangers, and I'm excited for the fans here in Texas. It's great to have a new middle infield, but they have more work to do. Their rotation is not nearly good enough to compete with the reigning AL champs in Houston, even the Mariners with the work they've done. So I would say, guys, that we have to watch this and see how things unfold. But I would say for me, I like the teams that have gone the pitching route, and even the Angels. You look at their move with Raisel Iglesias bringing him back. They've already made the move with Syndergaard earlier on in the offseason. They, I think, have addressed their greatest issues. The biggest head-scratcher right now, guys, with, again, 24 hours before a potential transaction freeze, why is Freddie Freeman not an Atlanta Brave right now? And that to me, is really, really a stunning development. I would have thought that he was the first free agent to sign of any consequence, and he's still out there right now. So that, to me, is one of the major questions I'm wrestling with here in the next 24 hours is, where does Freddie Freeman go? I saw John Heyman's report that the Blue Jays are in there, the Yankees are in there. Very surprising right now that Freddie is not back with the team with whom he just won the World Series a month ago.
John, I get a sense, you mentioned the Rangers and their signings. I get a Padre sort of sense with these moves. Is that fair? By that I mean, the Dodgers would always get so much attention, and now the Padres get some momentum. They try to make some big signings in addition to the young players that they had, and they're trying to go all in to take down the Dodgers. Are the Rangers trying to do the same thing with the Astros and Houston and trying to make that move? Are there any comparisons that you could see from what they did to what maybe the Padres did?
Yeah, no, it's fair. I actually think the Padres probably a year ago had more talent in-house than the Rangers. The Rangers were well off the map in terms of being a competitive team in 2021. They have got a lot of work to do. And I think that Seager and Semien give them a lot of credibility. I wonder, though, if even their overall lineup depth is going to be good enough. I get what you're saying, though. It's kind of a similar vibe where you're going to try to spend and really speed up your rebuild process in the course of one off season. And obviously John Gray helps the rotation, don't get me wrong. So I think from that standpoint, you're right on the magnitude of the moves. I think that San Diego actually had a better foundation from which to start. For Texas to get right back in the conversation in the AL West, the playoff team in 2022, will, from where I sit, require a lot of work. Because, you know, while Oakland is kind of in a rebuild mode, the Mariners are building up, and they're a really good ball club. I think that the task ahead of them right now for the Rangers is very, very challenging.
All right, let's play word association. Last one real quick for you, JP. Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor. Valuable. He is, I think there's a ton of interest in him. I expect he'll sign the next 24 hours. Dodgers want him back. Blue Jays like him. Mariners like him. Nationals like him. Everybody likes Chris Taylor because he's someone who's won a World Series ring. He can play center field for you. He can play second base. He can play shortstop if you need. So there's a lot of teams right now very interested right now in Chris Taylor. That was more than one word, by the way.
No, clearly, but you know, it was really, I should have just said, give me the team. But you gave me a bunch of them, and now we have a veritable potpourri. At John Morosi, where you find him, all the latest and greatest. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon as we either get a deal done or more billions of dollars get spent, JP. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, or we'll break down Michigan's approach on Saturday. If there's no deal, call me. We'll break down Michigan's approach. And by the way, I am self-acknowledged the worst ever word association player in the history of mankind. I can't just give you one word. I never can. Never have been able to do that.
No, well you know what? We'll do the Michigan-Iowa breakdown. We'll just call you randomly here in the coming days.
I appreciate that very much. And we didn't even mention Jason Smith's team, the Mets. They get Scherzer. Congratulations to Jason. That was one that we were talking about, Max, with him and the trade market back in July. So it finally happened, but just a little too late for Jason's team to win the division in 2021.
Just another kind of joke for you, JP. You know, Mr. Syracuse, we had Buddy Boeheim on earlier, and Jason's off tonight celebrating birthdays of his and his dad's. So it's really kind of been one of those nights where it's like nothing can work for him because, you know, he'd be talking nothing but Scherzer with you. So I'm glad we got to cover other ground.
we got a lot of other topics tonight, which was actually a lot of fun. So I love it, guys. I always love the conversation. And please reach out anytime, okay?
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, John.
Have a great night.
John Paul Morosi, our Michigander, Fox Sports, Major League Baseball Network is where you find him, at John Morosi on Twitter.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dan Beyer in for Jason Smith tonight. Much to his chagrin, no Max Scherzer talk with JP, no Buddy Boeheim talk, yay. And we didn't have to do Syracuse talk for 4 hours. So a win for me and for America. And, of course, I get to talk with you, Dan.
And I thought that after the Jets won on Sunday that you could still be talking about it on Tuesday, but... you know, with no Smith tonight, there's no need to.
You know what's surprising? Even yesterday, we didn't do a lot of Jets talk. A couple of references to it. But I think even watching that game, there's no way you could come away saying, yeah, that was a great – it's a win.
Yeah.
There's nothing saying, that's our guy.
Yes, yeah. correct.
Like, you don't come away going, Zach Wilson, all right, that time off was great for him. No, he threw an interception off a man's back. I mean, it's just this side of the butt fumble.
Yes, on a pitch.
Yeah.
Hey, a win's a win's a win.
succeed and proceed, as John Calipari taught us all that time ago. A guy who won a ton, we'll see if he'll ever win again, Tiger Woods, met with the media earlier today. We'll talk about that coming up in about 10 minutes. But I thought this was kind of funny. I mean, you've called wrong numbers before, right? Maybe
for sure.
Taking a couple of digits in a phone number and inverted them, and all of a sudden you're either calling internationally or you're calling and someone's screaming at you. I've had guys start cursing at me. I'm like, I'm sorry I interrupted whatever was going on. I'm sorry. I misdialed. But a Notre Dame prep freshman boys basketball team, this is in Pontiac, Michigan, they got the thrill of a lifetime because they added the wrong number of a teammate. That's it. They get it wrong. And it turns out it's Sean Murphy Bunting of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Said, nah, a guy, random guy replies to the group after being invited, quote, did you mean to add me to this group? And this is all being taken down by one of the school's counselor whose son is a freshman and on the team. And Murphy Bunting, Michigan guy, ends up sending a selfie of himself in the Bucs locker room. And then they gave them a bonus FaceTime call. And all of a sudden, you've got a bunch of the Buccaneers popping on. And Leonard Fournette ends up holding the phone after Gronk and all these other guys, Mike Evans and Richard Sherman, you name it, all show up. And Fournette shows them, you know, hey, there's Tom Brady finishing. And then Brady jumps on the call. Just
it's so
absolutely absurd.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I would have the wherewithal to do what Sean Bunting did. I would have just have said, hey, get me off this. You know, I'm not the guy that you want. But I also think he probably maybe understood the bit of gravity who he is and maybe understood that, hey, this could be some high school football players or something. But that is absolutely crazy. Then to see the guys play along with it, man, Brady, is, you know, I guess Tom Brady's an all right guy.
Eventually hops on, and you wonder if this had happened in New England, if he'd ever gotten the call back, yeah. Right? If you'd ever gotten access to all these guys, but clearly just a ridiculous convergence of circumstance, and these guys get the thrill of life to get to ask some questions of the Buccaneers and get a peek into their world.
Yeah, Belichick's like, no cell phones in the locker room. Sorry, guys, this is not going to happen.
But was there music, Dan?
Yeah, it's a good point. The other great part of it is like Leonard Fournette was on for the, what'd you say, for like 10 minutes, something like that?
Yeah.
How great.
Yeah, just crazy. So, you know, guys getting to talk to Brady. Brady said to ESPN, quote, that was sweet. I didn't know who it was. Fournette said, here's my boy, or whatever he said. It was nice. Would be nice for me too when I was in high school. So it's good to see guys remember those and what it can mean. You know, that's one of the lessons, no matter what job you're in, that you can reach back and give a little bit of love and a little bit of support. He's Dan Beyer in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon here at the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio. And coming up next, we talk about Tiger Woods and expectations on his return to the course.